TalkSport Extra Time, bringing you to TD Garden in Boston. Why? Well, we're here to talk to a Briton who's starting to establish himself in the biggest ice hockey league in the world, the NHL. Brendan Pelini, born in Guildford in 1996, learned to play the game with some help from dad Fred, who used to be on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster and then went on to play with distinction for the Fife Flyers and Nottingham Panthers, amongst others. In 2014, Pelini Jr. was rated as the 12th best player for his age in the NHL draft and was picked up by the Arizona Coyotes organization. He had to bide his time at the Niagara Ice Dogs and then their American Hockey League affiliate, the Tucson Roadrunners. That was for 2 years, but the call came in early December 2016 by Arizona coach Dave Tippett for Brendan to join the big league, and he's not looked back with 10 goals so far in his rookie season. Well, I've come to America to catch up with him before their game against the Boston Bruins.
You're probably not counting, right? But this is game number 37 for you in the NHL, and you had to wait so long for your first one, too.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's 37 already. It goes really quick, but I'm still excited to be around and stuff, and obviously enjoying every minute of it. So, hopefully can keep working hard and finish the year here and, obviously do well into next year.
Bit of momentum as well, because I must admit, when you were 2-0 down against Buffalo, I had you done. I didn't think you were going to win that game, and you turned it around.
Yeah, the guys have been, battling pretty hard for the last few games, and I think, that win for sure, or at least coming back there, that hopefully can propel us for the next couple of games and get some momentum off that.
Well, let's be honest, the recent form has been pretty good. I mean, all right, you've had a couple of losses, but you expect that. But actually, you have more wins than losses in recent weeks anyway.
Yeah, exactly. When I first come around, it was the other way around. So it's nice to, be more wins now than losses. And, we're a young team, so we're going to expect a few losses here and there. But as long as we, work our hardest every night and do our job, that's the main thing.
And 10 goals now for you. You've hit double figures.
Yeah, excited about that. Obviously delighted, and hopefully you can keep it going and finish the year really strong and keep scoring.
When you first came on the team, you were on the third line. You're now on the second line. That's promotion, yeah?
Yeah, I mean it changes, every game pretty much. So it's nothing to kind of worry about. I can just control what I can control and go out there and work my hardest. It's nothing to worry about the lineup or anything like that. I got nothing to do with that, so just kind of, obviously do what I can do and go out and work hard.
But the chemistry of that line's working pretty well now?
Yeah, it's been good. We've been together for a while, about a month or over. So, I like the two guys playing with. Obviously, Doan has played in the league for 20 years or 21 years or whatever it is. So to play with a guy like that and learn off him is awesome.
And now you're going to play some of the iconic venues as well, which this is one. I mean, this is the kind of place that hockey players want to play, isn't it?
Yeah, this is, original six team here, obviously. So it's a great game. It's awesome building in here. Nice, really, like, old atmosphere, similar to back in England, some of the stadiums over there. So, it's obviously looking forward to it. And, it's going to be a fun game.
The guys have probably told you, if you don't know this already, you haven't won, or Arizona have not won, or Phoenix not won in this building for 8 years.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. We should probably keep that quiet. But
more momentum and more incentive, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you can look at it that way. It's definitely, something that we'd hopefully like to try and break this trip.
Okay, and just keep plowing on, hoping for the best now. And, because I know you can't make playoffs, but there's just trying to get some more wins in the win column, yeah?
Yeah, really. It's just about kind of building for next year for myself anyway. Just try and, bring your game every night, play hard, do all the little things that'll, obviously get you better and more prepared for whether you come back next year or whatever. So, just kind of try and live in the moment for all the guys and take every game as it comes and hopefully we can, have some more wins and losses.
Trade deadline day is coming up. No word about you going anywhere, I take it?
No, that's another thing. You can't control any of that, so I don't read into it, especially being a young guy too. I mean, if something happens, it happens, but it's nothing to get uptight about for sure.
Coach is happy with you though, isn't he?
Yeah, it's been a good few months being up here, and obviously I think if you would have asked me at the start of the year if I would have been up this long, I maybe would have said no. So it's been great, and obviously really happy to still be here and be contributing. And that's the main thing, is just trying to come and bring an impact every night and make plays happen out there.
All right, we'll catch you tonight. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So here we are. It's game day for the Boston Bruins up against the Arizona Coyotes. And something rather unusual about TD Garden in Boston is built on top of a railway station. I don't think too many other sporting venues that are built on top of a railway station, but this one is. 20 years old now, actually 22 years old, built in 85, replaced the old Boston Garden, was built back in the 20s. It has a real kind of hockey feel about it. Great venue to watch, great venue to play in apparently. And, well, they've had quite a bit of success over the years. Six-time Stanley Cup champions are the Boston Bruins. Hi, can I have a quick word for you from working for GB Radio, Talk Sport in the UK?
Sure.
Just want a quick word. Bruins fan for how long?
All my life, since Bobby Orr, 1972.
So you've seen a couple of Stanley Cups along the way?
Yes, I have. Many.
What are your thoughts about this year?
Our chances don't look as good, and I am extremely disappointed they got rid of Mr. Julianne, but I also realize that they've gotten quite a few wins afterwards, so you have to accept the good with the bad. Their chances of winning the Stanley Cup this year? Well, let me put it to you this way. Everybody thought that the Pats weren't going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, I have a lot of faith in my teams. And the Bruins, I have even more faith than I do with the Patriots.
What about tonight's game?
My brother-in-law's from Arizona, and I'm going to be extremely happy to see them destroyed.
You think they will be?
Oh, they will, without question.
So, give me a score then.
5-1.
5-1, okay. 5-1. And then the scorers?
Marchand, 2. Bergeron 1, Hayes, and
that's your 5, isn't it?
Pasternak?
What's that?
Pasternak 1, Hayes.
Talking about goal scorers, who do you think is going to score tonight?
Marchand.
Well, no, I already said 2 for Marchand.
Oh.
Pasternak.
Krug. Tori Krug.
Krug. Oh, she's okay. A huge Krug fan.
She knows. Anyway, enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for your time. Thanks so much.
I don't have any words for the UK.
Oh, I bet you do.
Brexit. Love the UK.
Well, good. That's what we want to hear. I want to talk to you about the game tonight. What do you think the score's going to be before we start?
4-0.
4-0.
Yeah.
You think they're bums?
Coyotes? Yeah.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts about the Bruins season? They're off a road trip now, back at home again. Get the season started, really going?
Yeah, I've got the season started late in the season, but after the Claude firing, we're
trying to sneak in
one loss. That's the point.
You're behind 2 Canadian teams in your division right now, too.
Yes. You got to play who you play, you know. You can't worry about the other teams. You just got to get in yourself. Once you get in, it's a whole new season.
Right. And what about Stanley Cup? It's not too well. We're into March now, nearly, so we're right. Starting to think about May and June.
Right, yeah, but once you get in, it's different style of hockey once you get in the playoffs. So you just try to get in, get a 7-6 seed, and then see what happens from there, you know. Kings have won it before, being the 8 seeds. You hope you get in and hope for the best after that.
Prediction for tonight?
3-1.
Oh, it's not as one side as your friend says.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 3-1.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Well, let's stream in now. I think because we're getting pretty close to face-off time, I think I'm going to get too much more now, but that gives you a general flavour. I don't think that guy who's playing the instrument is actually connected with the hockey at all, just making a noise for his own ends. But I think we better go inside and find out what happens in the pre-game warm-up. We'll have loads of noise, a lot of lights, and a lot of screaming, no doubt. That's to come in just a few moments' time. I have to say, this is not a place to go if you've got a nosebleed. We are up on the 9th floor, i.e. in the roof. We are as high as you could possibly go at TD Gardens here. So if you have any kind of problem with heights, and I've got to say, this is the longest climb that I've ever done for a sports event, and we are up in the gods. It's a fantastic view. It really is. I'm inside one half of the ice, virtually along the blue line, just looking down. It is a tremendous view. I wouldn't want to commentate from up here, I'll tell you that much. Identification of the players, but of course you do have monitors for those kind of things. But it's starting to fill up. It's not going to be full, I don't think, or anything like it. A lot of empty seats. I think people do tend to leave it fairly late. Of course, the problem is, in American sport compared to the UK sport, because there's so many games and such big distances, there won't be too many travelling fans. One thing that precedes all NHL, NBA and Major League Baseball games is the anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, belted out with gusto here.
Please remain standing and remove your caps for the singing of our national anthem, performed this evening by Massachusetts State Trooper Katie Downey.
That's the anthem done. We return on TalkSport Extra Time in a few moments' time, bringing you the story of the game, and we'll hear once again from Brendan Pelini. Minutes in and the Bruins have scored already. The Coyotes have had two shots, we weren't able to score on it, but the first real telling shot on Mike Smith has gone past him. What
do you know? Arizona have scored early in the second period. I think it was just after the power play had expired, but it was the Brendan Pelini line that scored it. It's scored by Peter Holland. Oh, big hit. Big hit in center ice, and now we got some goings on. Whoa. And I'm afraid Mr. Bermistrov is down in quite a heap. And they're just checking to make sure he's okay, because he's gone Sparko. Huge, huge hit for the Russian. And, well, he hasn't moved, and out comes the stretcher on wheels, and that doesn't look good at all. He took a massive hit. Oohs and ahs all around, and real concerns here. Crowd, of course, not very sympathetic. But that's a hockey crowd for you, and I'm afraid Alexander Bimistrov is not looking in a particularly good state. Basically, hip into the face, and he's gone down on the ice like a sack of spuds. Colin Miller, the Bruins, with the check, which was basically rising right into the face, elbow into the face, and that may well be him gone for the game. And I think Bermistrov will similarly disappear from sight, and they're still very worryingly attending to Bermistrov. That delay lasted 9 minutes. He was taken to hospital immediately, but discharged that night and was able to join the team on their flight to Buffalo later that evening. Coach Dave Tippett said he was in a vulnerable position, but it's a hockey hit. Bermy's head is down, and it's a hard hit. That's a hit that happens in hockey the odd time. You never like to see anyone get hurt, but I don't think it was an intentional hit to hurt somebody. Well, it's parity no longer. Boston have got their noses back in front. All right, on the power play for Arizona. And it really was a sloppy bit of defense by Arizona. Only got themselves to blame down their own end with plenty of time. And just helped very easy and very kindly into the path of the Bruins player. So 2-1 it is with 12:05 remaining in the second. Well, they might be out shooting the Boston Bruins by 16-13, but so for the first time in the game, Boston have a two-goal advantage, which is a bit of a shame because Arizona were more than competing. As I mentioned, they're outshooting the home team by 16-13, but they can't convert. We're coming to the end of the second period, going into the third. It's 3-1 Bruins with 1:03 to go. Another defensive lapse for Arizona, and it's cost them dear. Had a chance to go 2-1 up
They find themselves 4-1 down at the end of 40 minutes play. Two goals in the last 2 minutes in that period really has killed off the Coyotes' challenge, and they were keeping it competitive right up to that point, but now it may well be damage limitation. They go back to the locker room with Boston Bruins leading by 4-1. Over the last 15 seconds, there has not been a further goal in period three. Arizona made a netminding change at the end of 40 minutes, and he hasn't been breached, and nor has the Boston Bruins goalie either. So it looks like it's going to finish 4-1 here at the TD Garden.
Boy, that was a tough one, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, obviously, going one down pretty early is tough to come back from. But, you know, we got to 1-1, and we were obviously right there. But, you know, a couple goals, obviously, to get behind 3-1 is tough coming back from that. So, I mean, decent effort from the guys, but we definitely got a lot more.
So looking at the stats, in the second period, you were out shooting them, you had some power play chances, just couldn't convert.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of been their story the past few weeks, power plays and stuff. We need to do a lot better job on capitalizing, but, you know, that's obviously down to the guys on the ice, and we gotta work really hard when we get them. So, yeah, that's obviously something we can keep working on and hopefully progress at.
We had some momentum going, and I actually thought you were matching them pretty well. And then the injury to Alex. Now, he's obviously a big friend of yours,
yeah.
A guy that you play with. Did that kind of take a lot of momentum out of the team at that stage?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, you know, like you said, great friend. And there was actually one of my other buddies from Sault Ste. Marie who hit him. So, you know, I didn't really see it anyway. I was on the bench and just kind of missed it. A couple guys were standing up, but obviously hope he gets a lot better and does well. But yeah, like you said, I think that did kind of slow the game down a little bit for us, and maybe it made it a little tougher for us to come back after that.
So you may not have seen this so far. He's actually put a picture up on social media. He's in the hospital, but he's got his thumbs up going, I'm okay.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great. Obviously, no matter who it is, you know, whether they're your friend or not, you never like to see someone get hurt, especially like that. So I'm glad he's doing well, and hopefully I can see him back on the ice soon.
How do you assess your game tonight?
It was not bad. I thought I brought a lot more speed. I had a lot more tempo to my game than the past few games. You know, it was a good game for our line. I think we had some chances early on. I had the chance in front. I had a few more throughout the game, obviously getting the assist on the power play. But yeah, I still got a few things I'd like to work on and keep trying to get better at. But, you know, that all comes with a lot of time.
Can you tell me what those things are? You get to divulge what those things you're working on are right now?
Just throughout the year, you just try and learn so much and take so much in that almost sometimes is a bit overwhelming. So that's a thing, you know, comes with time. You know, just the little things, stuff on the boards, winning puck battles and stuff like that. You know, that all comes with time and getting stronger and stuff and knowing the game a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, we don't practice too much up here, you know, like I'm used to. So that, to me, getting used to the schedule too, playing a game almost every other day, it gets taxing after a while. So that's, for me, the schedule is the biggest thing.
And, you know, back home, people talk about how hard it is for Premier League footballers to do that, how it is in other sports in the UK, and people say, oh, we play too many games. You play every other day, so how do you do that?
To be honest, I wish we had the Premier League schedule. That would be nice, but one game a week or whatever it is, even if it was two, that would be unbelievable. But, yeah, we really don't train at all or practice maybe a couple times a month. It's just, you know, game, day off, another game. So it's, you know, that comes with time, learning too how to prepare, you know, game after game, day after day. You got to prepare the right way. So
Do you find it, I was trying to explain in the introduction to this game tonight, that when you play away, you don't get any fans, right? Because you play so many games, you travel so far. Now, in the UK, people will take a lot of away fans to games and stuff. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, you scored a goal tonight, you could hear a pin drop in this place.
Yeah, that's, for hockey, that's a good thing when you have a quiet crowd like that. I always love playing on the road. It's awesome trying to, you know, everyone booing you and stuff. That to me,
they made a lot of noise in this place, especially when Alex went down.
Yeah.
They weren't very sympathetic about that.
Yeah, yeah. That to me is, you know, I like that better than someone cheering for me, someone booing, because it just gets you going a lot more. So, it was nice to play in this building. Obviously, an old building like this, it reminded me a lot of Dortmund with all the yellow seats and stuff. So that's our hockey version of Dortmund.
All right, finally, what about the rest of the season for you? Now, is it just targets? You got any targets you set yourself?
Not really. I just kind of taking it day by day. Everything happens so quick that, you know, I just want to get better each and every day at one little thing. It doesn't matter what it is that day. Could be skating, sticking, shooting, whatever. You know, just try and get better at one little thing every day, and hopefully I'll get to be the player that I want to be.
And which player is that, Wayne Gretzky?
I don't know about that, but so hopefully somewhere close.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
The media attention on ice hockey players in North America, especially Canadians, is akin to the spotlight on those in the Premier League in England. And the man who has to manage the relations with the media is their Executive Vice President of Communications and Broadcasting, Rich Nairn. He says it's a pleasure to deal with those players.
Yeah, absolutely. Brennan's great. And I think we're very fortunate in hockey in general. All guys are so down to earth, so friendly, so accessible to the media, so involved in the community. We're very fortunate. So he's been a pleasure ever since we drafted him. He's a nice young man.
What do you do when they come into the organization? Do you have to do media training with them, or do they know how to do it just because they've been through the system?
That's a good question. And fortunately, they do get a lot of media attention in Canada because hockey is the biggest sport and it's so popular. So they have really a lot of training on their own going through junior hockey. And even college players have it too. But we do go through a formal media training process during their first rookie camp or initiation camp. And we give them tips on dealing with the media, the importance of dealing with the media, and also social media. So, we do put them through some training.
One of the big differences in here in America and Canada is the fact that you allow the media to come into the locker room, into the dressing room back home, 15 minutes after the game is finished. Now, in the UK, and actually pretty much in Europe, that would be unheard of.
Right. Yeah, it's a different policy. I know in Olympic play and in international competition, there's that zone, media zone.
Mixed zone, yeah.
Mixed zone, exactly. But we do it differently in North America, and I think it works. I mean, access is very important in order to sell the game and grow the game. So the league, stresses that access is a very big thing, and our players are tremendous. So post game, we usually notify 3 or 4 players who the media request to stay in the locker room and talk to them, and it's worked out well so far.
It's pretty tough for you though, isn't it, as part of a team that, or as a squad or an outfit that isn't doing that well, right? When people always say, oh, okay, well, Arizona's season's already over, they can't make the Stanley Cup. Is that quite difficult for you, having to kind of fend off those kind of questions and people saying, oh, they're not a very good team really, are they?
Yeah, and naturally, I mean, it's always easier when you win, and when you have a good team and a successful season like we did in 2012, going to the conference final, everything's easy. Makes our job more difficult and more challenging when you're losing. But I think we have so many good young prospects. We're trying to tell their stories and let media understand who they are as people and get to know them and their personalities. So that's what we really focus on when we're losing. Better times ahead for sure with all the prospects we have, but it's far more challenging at the present time, but we're very optimistic about the future.
That was game number 37, I think, for Brendan. How have you seen him improve? What kind of strides has he made in that time?
He's been incredible. I mean, early on, he was sent down to start the season in Tucson, which is our farm team, our development team, and he worked really hard and scored a ton of goals with the Roadrunners in Tucson. So he's done everything the coaches have asked for in terms of working on his game. He was rewarded because of his success in the American Hockey League, and he hasn't looked back. He's a tremendous speed, excellent shot, hard worker, tremendous attitude. So, I mean, just a very bright future ahead of him for sure.
So how far do you think he can go? How good a talent is he?
Well, the sky's the limit for him. It's really up to him now. There's so many talented players in the National Hockey League. What it comes down to, like every other sport, is work ethic and attitude. And I think he has both both of those covered. He has a great attitude. He's worked extremely hard to get to this point. And I think the sky's the limit with all his ability. You have to skate in the NHL. It's a skating man's game right now, and he can fly. And he's a tremendous shot. He's got size. He's smart. Really, the sky's the limit. I've said that before, but it's up to him now. And I think he has a very bright future.
One man who's seen them come and go is the Arizona captain, Shane Doan. He joined the club when it was the Winnipeg Jets back in 1995, and has seen them through the transition from Jets to first Phoenix and then the Arizona Coyotes. I first asked the now 40-year-old for his thoughts on the night's game in Boston.
Boston's got a pretty good team, and we gave them too many free opportunities. And you give that one line that many free opportunities, they're going to make you pay, and they did. Fortunately, it wasn't good enough.
Okay, the reason I'm wanting to talk to you mainly is about one of your line mates, Brendan Pelini. Now, his 37th game tonight, what kind of progress are you seeing with him?
He's a world-class skater with world-class shot. He's figured out the game to a certain degree, and as a goal scorer, he's going to be special. I'm pretty excited about what he can do in the future, and hopefully we can continue to play together for the rest of the year.
What are his great skills?
His speed and his shot. His speed and his shot. And he's got good hands when he handles a puck. When he's got the puck, he's really dynamic, and that's a hard trait. And he's big. He's big and makes plays. So those things are all good things to have.
And you've been on this outfit with three different names for like 22 years now. How good is he compared to the rookies you've seen?
He is capable of being as good as any rookie. One thing I've learned over the years is very seldom does your first year dictate how your career is going to be, and it always helps, but it doesn't guarantee anything. But he's also shown that he has the body and the ability to be a very good NHL player.
Okay, and you talk to him, what kind of things do you say to him about his improvement, how he's going to improve down the stretch?
Well, I think with the play without the puck is always the hardest thing, because when you get to the NHL, you've always been a dominant player, and so you've always had the puck. And in the NHL, you got to learn to play without it, and that's sometimes the hardest thing to learn.
How many more years have you got left in you now?
Oh, it's probably days more than down, less than years.
Shane, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
And with thanks to the Bruins and the Arizona organizations for making it happen, there's your taste of a night in the NHL. And a name that you should remember for the future, British-born and Manchester United fan, may I add, Brendan Pelini. He is a talent and will be around for a long time.